Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. I am so excited that you joining with us tonight. We have a special, special show tonight, and I just can't wait to get into it. But you know, Mom and them always told us there are certain things you got to do before you invite people to the party. So what we do here at Life, Love, and Wellness, we always center and anchor ourselves in affirmative reading. And what we use to start our show is actually the daily meditations that I sent out. And it's called revsandy.wordpress.com if you're interested. Today's message is called More, M-O-R-E, Manifesting Our Reality Every Day. What do you want to increase in your life? Improved health and vitality, financial abundance, happy and harmonious relationships, utilizing additional gifts and talents. You can have whatever you believe you can have. Your actions are a reflection of your thoughts, what you believe to be true about a situation. To improve your health, you may consider your diet. Do you eat out often at fast food places? You can change and eat differently by preparing your foods, which are nutritious and wholesome. You can add fresh fruits and vegetables to your list of edibles. You can walk a little longer distance each day. When you go to the mall, park your car the furthest distance from the entrance, or at work, take a stroll to the person's office instead of calling or emailing them. There's always little things that you can do to increase your health. Financial abundance for most of us is very difficult to welcome. The thought or conversation around money is most time made in fear. We must become comfortable with the notion that we can have it. The absolute very first thing we must do is determine we are worthy and deserving of prosperity, which are financial blessings. I have had to repeat affirmations for months for that to soak into my core. I have looked in the mirror and said it loudly. I kept going until I could smile when I said it. At that point, it was real for me. Relationships, all of them, are a reflection of you. So what are we bringing into the mix of others? Do you bring unconditional acceptance for the other person or persons? What do you still need to deal with around interpersonal issues before becoming involved with another? Bring joy in and you will receive joy. Bring in harmony and there will be balance in the relationship. You are the key, not the other person. Bring your best and receive the best. To get more, you must be willing to give more. Manifest our realities every day is our commandment. And again, that's from the daily messages, revsandy.wordpress.com. And our next order of business is we pay tribute and homage to our ancestors. And there's a couple more that have been added just since last week that I personally know of. So, again, we invoke and we invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us, especially during Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We invoke their presence with them every day, but particularly on the show. So we treasure your gift. We love you. Ashe, ashe. Thank you, ancestors. It's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Honoring Our Veterans. And our esteemed guest is John Jackson. I tell you, I met this man, and he just really, like, he was reading my mind about what he was doing with the vets. He has an organization called Stag Vets, and a first in the nation. It's called an acute veterans crisis agriculture center named Comfort Farms, and it's named in honor of an Army Ranger, Captain Kyle A. Comfort. So we're going to be bringing on Mr. Jackson in just a moment. I tell you, I'm so excited that he has taken time out of his schedule to be with us, because this brother is always crump doing the work that he's doing, because he's helping those individuals that have served our country. So I'm not going to take up too much of the time that is dedicated to him, but I do want to just make sure, audience, that you know you're invited to join in the discussion. And as always, every comment is accepted, and we listen and we hear what you have to say. So nothing that you want to add is ever not good enough. You're not smart enough or whatever. Whatever you want to contribute is welcomed here on this show. So Life, Love, and Wellness, love to get the audience involved in the conversation. And I did not ask John for his bio because I believe that the work he does speaks for himself. But I would like to share with you how I met him, and then I'm going to bring him straight on because he has so much to say. And it's just a tremendous tribute to him and to the work that he does to give him as much airtime and space to talk on Life, Love, and Wellness as we possibly can. So over the years, I've seen family members to return home from being in the military, going over, being deployed into war situations. And when they come back, they're a completely changed person. And the folks around them would always criticize them and complain of their new personality. And I would always say something like, but perhaps going into the military changed them, yet people didn't go along with that. You know, they were like, well, no, you know, that can't be the case because blah, 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 blah. But that's what I always felt in my heart. And so no one agreeing with me still didn't cause me to change my mind, right? But that was until I had the honor and the pleasure to serve as a room assistant at this conference called Food for Thought here in the Georgia area. And that's where I met John Jackson. And he gave an overview of the work that he does out at Comfort Farms. And I was like, finally, you know, that somebody understands the position that I've been holding since Vietnam, which was what, way back in 67 and 68. And so without further ado, I would like to welcome Mr. John Jackson to the show. And, John, if you would be so kind as to tell the audience a little bit or as much as you want to about who you are and the work that you do, or just about you, and then we can get into the work in a little bit. But thank you, thank you, thank you from the top, bottom, and middle of my heart for being with us today.
Sandra, it's great being able to be on your show today. I'm really honored to be talking to you and your guests about about this important work that we're doing. And, you know, it's been a busy day today, obviously working on the farm and collaborating with a lot of folks to continue our mission. But as always, I just love being able to kind of tell my story so people can understand, you know, why I'm so driven to not only help, you know, my brothers and sisters who have served in the capacity that I have, but also find peace for their families that are struggling with them as well. And so, you know, first, you know, to your audience, you know, my name is John Jackson. I'm the executive director of Stag Vets, Inc. I was in special operations. I served with the 75th Ranger Regiment, which is an elite Army unit in the Army. And we did a lot of things. I served my first 8 years. I served over 40 months in a combat zone with accumulated of 6 combat tours. And as you know, Sandra, back in the Vietnam era, to go over 3 times, you were pretty much classified as crazy. And for us veterans, you know, on 6 combat tours, which if I would have been in the Ranger all those times, it would have been equivalent to 13 combat tours for a special operator. So I spent a lot of time overseas. I've been blown up. I've been in heavy combat. I've seen a lot of my friends get killed. I've seen a lot of my friends absolutely lose their mind. I lost myself in Iraq. I remember the day that I actually lost myself in Iraq, where it was the transformation of what I used to be that never came back out of that place. And it was a horrifying experience for me. It was a it was a revelation for me to know that I could never go back to the same Johnny that I used to be, that everyone knew who I was. And it scared me in a lot of aspects, because when I emerged from that experience, it I was more hardened. I was more I was more weathered. I was more seasoned. I became a warrior. But with that, as I came home, as you mentioned, my family, they had no idea what war would do, but they just knew that I was totally, totally different. And for the struggles of us vets from every war, the struggle is to find our normal. And what we're facing right now is that folks expect us to be normal like we once were. But I would never be the Johnny that I once were, because that Johnny never had to, you know, wipe the teeth or brain matter off of the front dashboard of a Humvee. You know, I mean, that Johnny never had to sit there and hold, you know, people and count their clothing and pour bodies into body bags because they were totally emulsified from an explosion that just ripped through a Humvee. I mean, you know, so those are two different lives. And unfortunately, in the business of war, we have to get our emotions in check rather quickly, because the gunfire don't stop, the grenades and all those things don't stop. So what you do is you develop a skill of being able to push things aside while still getting on to your work. And that's those are unique skills that veterans have. You can't teach that in academic. I can't tell anybody this is how you do it. It's you either emerge from it victorious or you die with it. And for most vets, they emerge from it and they develop a whole new set of skills. But when we come back here, you know, like myself, people are afraid of you. Your family's afraid of you. You have triggers. People want to hire veterans. They don't understand, like, they want to hire veterans, but they're afraid that the veteran is going to flip. So there's all this uncertainty going around. And as a vet, you know, we feel let down. And it's one of the things that led me to severe depression after my wife at the time left me, because she divorced me while I was overseas. She couldn't take it anymore, and it kind of sent me into a spiral. So I realized that I needed to do something different, and that's what led me to create the organization that I created, so that way I can fix the problem.
Well, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I wasn't I want to just make sure that I let everyone know I didn't think that I had the answer back when I was making this blanket statement to people and to my family. It's just I felt in my heart that there was something more that was going on. I had no idea, you know, of what
right.
the experience could be. What I do know, though, John, in looking now, is that with a more mature eye, is that, you know, we're raised in this country to be peaceful and
yeah.
law-abiding citizens, and you don't hurt
yes.
other people. But then
absolutely.
When you get into the military, you're expected to go and kill people that you don't
yeah.
even know, you know? And
yeah.
so how do you come
yeah.
back from that unscathed, you know? And so that would be my question to folks. And, but I think we, you know, we allow the media to dishonor or disrespect or not to really legitimately cover adequately the real happenings of what a person is exposed to. And I think that's why the families didn't know how to relate to you guys when you came back, you know?
Man, you know, Sandra, that's a really great question. And you're absolutely right, because there's been many a night that I've sat in the sands of Iraq looking at the stars, you know, by myself after a mission and thinking, you know, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose? What is my purpose for being here? You know, and all those things. And, you know, I came up with things, you know, I used to remember myself and what my mom and dad used to teach me, you know, about, you know, respecting your elders, respecting life, and there's things that you don't do. So how can a person, you know, like myself, who's raised in a pretty decent, you know, family life, you know, get up and then, you know, can take a life with not a flinch. And
mm-hmm.
what we have to remember is that it's all about conditioning. You know, we have been conditioned in the military. See, the military does a really great job of taking a vessel, a human vessel, and turning it into a machine. So there's a lot of things that they did in the Korean War, in the Vietnam War, lessons learned now with our muscle memory and things like that. We don't even act when we are killing people and we're taking life. There's no emotion that's even involved in that. It's a mission, and you do what you're taught. And because of all the conditioning that we have in those areas, it's, you know, your brain and your weapon, they become one. I mean, it's a very primal, you know, like instinct that's involved in the art of war. I mean, you take that and you couple that with how veterans are right now and what we've been exposed to and what we've been conditioned to, and you look at children at a very young age playing these extremely violent video games.
Yeah.
They're being conditioned too, just the same way that we are. And I don't think people really understand the power of putting someone in a situation like that and having them do things without having any type of conscious decision about it, you know. And it's only until after the fog of war that you realize that, wow, this is what I did. You know, when you come back home, you know, when I crossed American airspace, I couldn't believe that I was back in the United States. And people have like happy hour, and there's, you know, like Ruby Tuesdays, and, you know, steakhouses, and I'm like, man, you guys are living it up. And I just, like 6 hours ago, we're all just seeing suicide bombers. Like, there's a disconnect. There's a huge disconnect between, you know, life in these other countries and what Americans live every day. And that, for me, when I came back to see what life is like to live in America, it was a bittersweet moment. I was extremely happy that our countrymen and women are able to live in freedom, being able to express themselves, being able to make their own decisions, have their own opinions, speak out against the government, you know, vote for who you ever vote for. I mean, that is the beauty of what America is. But then on the same side, I still have my brothers overseas who are dying, and it doesn't seem like anyone really cared or even know about those things. They put it on the news, but it's just a different world, you know, between here and actually what's going on in real life.
Yeah, it's and you know, you brought up the violent games, and I know they were very popular just this holiday and maybe even before, but I actually saw some of my family youth, you know, just actively engaged in that, and they're so gory,
yeah.
You know, with the blood that pops out, and I was like, wow,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it was a little much for me, so, you know. But that's interesting that you
is.
Would say it's conditioning the children, and I like that because that makes so much sense. It really is that they're not even concerned.
Look at the violence that we have today amongst children. I mean, there's violence that that is unbelievable with what kids are doing. And a lot of these kids are smiling, they're laughing, you know, about it. They have no conscious decision that they've done something wrong, you know. And I just think as parents, you know, and the greater work that I'm doing too, it's just kind of being able to build a service component into our organization to give back and especially help youth who are in need about these things.
Great. That's absolutely wonderful. So again, audience, we're talking tonight about honoring our veterans with John Jackson, and so we're paying tribute to the many men and women who have served this country in the military. And so we're talking now about, have you ever wondered how men and women can go and fulfill that requirement of the fighting and the killing in battle and then come back unaffected? And that's always been something that I was always curious about, but it seems like, you know, no one really wanted to hear that. But John is talking with us tonight about the truth of what happens. And so he has an organization called Stag Vets, and they have served over 300 veterans since they first began. And they have created the nation's first acute Veterans Crisis Agriculture Center, and it's called Comfort Farms. Now, John had made a demonstration at this conference that I was attended, and he was talking about, and John, if you could just take it over here, that the same characteristics that one a person faces in military is duplicated on the farm. And if you can just kind of explain that so that people kind of get the correlation that you come up with.
Right. Absolutely. So the whole idea about Comfort Farms is to create a ramp down. And what I mean by, some people ask about, you know, what do you mean by ramp down? And so what I say is, you know, for me to become a soldier, I had to go through basic training. I had to go to my AIT, and then I get to my unit. And along the way, I have became conditioned, indoctrinated into the way of the military to be a soldier. Everything from dress right dress, precision, everything that I did, you know, helped me to become the soldier that I became. And that was very important because the military thrives on, you know, accuracy and precision. So the conditioning that took place for every soldier, it's ingrained in us to be that way. That's how we survive war. That's how we survive, you know, casualties. And that's just how we excel. On day one of leaving the military, they expect you to be a civilian again. It doesn't work You know, it does not work. There's no way in the world that when I get my DD-214 that I'm going to just walk into civilian life and just be like, okay, I'm here, guys. You know, I've had people that did that, and they had to get extra counseling because they've made people cry. I mean, I had one of my leaders who that I was in with, he worked in an office, and he got pissed off because his people were sitting around, and he had them out there doing police call in the parking lot. Everybody had a garbage bag, and they were picking up trash. And these were office folks. They weren't used to that, but that's how he operated in the military. So it's kind of like, hey, man, you know, you can't bring what you've learned. You know, you can bring what you learned from the military, you know, into corporate, but you have to do it in a different way because you're working with civilians. And so my idea for Comfort Farms is a conditioning farm, and we use it as a conditioning tool so that way veterans can come to the farm, they work on the farm, they use the cyclic, rhythmic, you know, effects on the farm that is totally natural in a holistic way to be able to ground themselves and root themselves so that way they can find their new normal. You know, when you're overseas, and for me, I used to do a lot of work at night. That's when we hunted a lot of Taliban and did a lot of stuff, so it was at night. So my primal brain is kicked in. Nighttime, I know it's hunting. We're out there doing what we need to do. Well, when I come back home, I'm no longer hunting. But my primal brain is not switched over to regular life. When the nighttime comes, I can almost guarantee you that my heart is racing. I'm up. I'm staring at the wall. Everybody's asleep. I'm trying to figure out how do I get sleep. And those are the things. So what the VA does is give us a lot of pills. I was on tremendous amount of pills just to be able to be asleep, just to be able to not have, you know, like outbursts of rage or anything like that. And those things led for me to developing diabetes because of the life that the kind of lifestyle that it kind of pushed me into with all of these drugs. I've noticed that as soon as I hit the farm with the creation of Comfort Farms and working on a farm, that I no longer use medication to go to sleep anymore. I no longer use these other medications to help me keep grounded, because when I walk around and doing all the things that I have to do on a farm, by the time I get back, if I was upset, I'm no longer upset. I'm able to think through and figure out, like, you know, what's going on and make good sense of it. I mean, my wife, she loves the fact that I work on the farm, and we're using it as a tool like that. And that's one of the reasons why, as a veteran who suffers from traumatic brain injury and chronic PTSD, I am in the trench looking forward as far as what veterans like myself need versus being on top, looking down, trying to figure out what we need, if that makes sense.
Okay. It does. It does. So are there any other programs that you know of that either helps the veteran make a transition from, you know, being in active duty, coming back, or a program that directly impacts the lives like you? Or are you the only organization in the United States that actually sees, have the experience, and can develop a program that is functional and effective?
So the great question. There are tons of programs out there that are designed to help veterans be able to go into transition. We are the first program that are developing the tools for veterans to being able to weather the storm. You see, because I'm going to tell you something, Sandra, we focus on our veterans. The success of our organization and how we measure success is not if a veteran can, you know, have a big house or, you know, maintain a job or, you know, all these other things. That's not what we focus our success on. What we focus our success on for a veteran is based on if his quality of life is better now because of our program than it was before he started. So we're totally holistic. And as we developed this organization, one of the main things was we were not going to take the agribusiness and all the farm and all this other kind of stuff, and we weren't going to take holistic care and try to fit it in. We're going to take everything that we're doing and we're going to surround it by holistic care. I mean, just today I talked to universities, faculty who are we're working on a project to include music therapy, mindfulness, and art.
What I told them
was that, you know, before we start our day working on the farm, what I would like to do is have our vets work on their mindfulness, self-awareness things, you know, first thing in the morning. That's
mm-hmm.
what we do, meditation,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Let's give that, let that be our shot of coffee before we go out and do anything. Because what I want from the molecular level, I want veterans to be engaged. You know, if there's, you know, with music therapy, we find that, you know, even with singing and doing things like that, or playing an instrument, you know, it charges those brain waves and things that are damaged in making them, you know, work a little bit harder. And what I want to see is, can those things transfer into being productive and efficient? And the more productive and efficient that veterans can be, the happier that they're going to be, because they actually can see their work. Because no vet, even if he is disabled, they don't want to be treated like they're disabled. And so that's what
right.
that's our main focus at the farm.
Okay. I'm just loving this. So you're tuned in to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And tonight our show is honoring our veterans, and our special, special guest is John Jackson. He's actually a veteran himself, and he's gone from the inside of himself to create this program. This organization is called Stag Vets, and his I like to say this word, Acute Veterans Crisis Agriculture Center is called Comfort Farm, and it's actually named in honor of a ranger, Captain Kyle A. Comfort. And, John, I would like for you to give us the reason why you chose Kyle, but let me first tell the audience, you can contact or you can go on and check the website of this organization. It's Stag, S-T-A-G, Vets, V-E-T-S, Incorporated, INC.org. So you go on there, you can see all of the wonderful work that John and his team of people are doing, and what the veterans are actually partaking in. And it's just incredible. So I don't know how you guys feel, but I am just so happy that it's something is being done, because we have so many homeless vets, and we have vets that
yeah,
come back and commit
absolutely.
Suicide, and those numbers
yeah.
are not reported. So I'm going to
yeah.
back off, John, and let you have the mic again.
yeah.
Because it's
no.
just incredible to me. Yeah.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to honor our vets again. I just want to say that, Sandra, because you know, anytime we get a chance to speak about these things, we push the envelope, we raise awareness, and it really, we are trying to mobilize the nation and create a movement of action, you know, not just words. So this is an important step in that, and I can get on to. You know, Kyle A. Comfort was United States Army Ranger. I served with him. I met him during our training, and we worked together. And he happened to be his father was friends with our commander. They were West Point folks that went to West Point together. And Kyle always wanted to be a ranger, and you know, there were a lot of things going on at the time of the war where, you know, my commander really didn't want, you know, Kyle to kind of be there and things like that, because, you know, we were losing guys, and it was tough, and he didn't want to, he just knew from his, you know, he just didn't want him to be in there because it was tough, you know. But Kyle just said Kyle was a Ranger. Like, no, 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 I'm going to be a Ranger. And anyway, he came to be a Ranger. And to make a long story short, we had a pretty significant event in Afghanistan where we needed all hands on deck, and it was Kyle's first mission, and he never made it back home from that mission.
Wow.
And I personally was in charge of making sure that all of his stuff was placed where they needed to, took inventory of everything that he owned, and, you know, pulled the clothes off of him when I received him, and had to ship everything home. It was tough, you know. I never knew that I would create a farm later on down the road in honor of Kyle.
Sure.
I never knew that I would even do this with Stag Vets. It didn't exist because I was at war, obviously. But when I went through my own bout of serious depression where I almost took my own life, and had it not been for my son who walked in the room on me and derailed me from that, going down that path, when he derailed me from going down that path, I started to really look into myself to see how do I want to live the rest of my life for my family and for my brothers in arms. And when I came up with Stag Vets as the nonprofit, you know, Stag means strength to achieve greatness. It's a beautiful think tank of strategic players who decide, you know, we get together, we look at the issues, and we want to create solutions to the problems. And one of the solutions to the problems that we have with veterans who are experiencing chronic PTSD, memory loss through TBI, depression, anxiety, family breakups, and all these type of things, we felt that it just made the most amazing sense to have Kyle A. Comfort, name a farm after Kyle A. Comfort and call it Comfort Farms in honor of Kyle for his service, and to take care of vets in a way that has not been done for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah. And everything is off to you, and I applaud you for the work that you're doing. I remember my ex-husband served in Vietnam, and, you know, it was just really something to see him sit with photo albums, you know, like just stacks of them. And it would be his friends, you know, the guys that he was buddies with in service. But, you know, like the torso would be on one side of the picture, and the legs and the arms, you know, on another. And that would just get to me. So I could imagine what it did to him, you know.
Right.
And so for the work that you're doing, to have the sensitivity of what the veterans experience while they're over there. And another situation, I'm not sure, I'm sure you have some experience with this, but I have a friend that is actually in the hospital right now. He was in the service. He developed cancer a few years ago, and I was told that it was a direct result of his exposure to Agent Orange. Now, my philosophy is that each one of the wars have some kind of drug or something, because, you know, a person that's raised to be peaceful and law-abiding, and now, you know, they're put into a situation where, you know, like as we've been discussing, that their main requirement is to kill, they have to have something, you know, like mind-altering or personality changing or something to make them to be able to do that. And I would also, I want to ask you another part too, is that in your program, will there be a component where in the future the families of the veterans or the military men and women that are coming back will have some type of training as to how best serve that individual? Had you thought about that? So I'm gonna give you those two points.
Absolutely. We are finding, Sandra, and I will tell you from my own personal experience, that the number one reason for why there is a spiraling of out of control, with many, many families and things like that, is because of the communication and or lack thereof, or not knowing how to communicate with one another. We have to train and teach families what these things are for vets, what the new normal for a vet looks like. We also have to do our due diligence on helping veterans associate more and love more with their families. I have, a vet, vets, there's a lot of vets out there who have a hard time. They don't want to be with their families. I know that sounds really harsh, but they just don't connect. Having that human emotion, anything except your brother who you fought with, anything except that is not, they don't want it, and it's difficult. But it's
Wow.
one of the things that I find is that if I have a vet who has those type of issues, if he's out there with an animal like a piglet or a lamb, and he's taking care of it every day, he's learning to love again. We need vets to learn how to love again. We need vets to learn how to love themselves again. And that's the beauty of the farm, because if you can take that vet who's learning how to love again, even if he's taken care of and he's wanting to see, that whether the health of plants or the health of an animal, now we can build that bridge back from that back to the family. And even if it's just routine or regimented, we go back into that conditioning again. Love conquers all things,
Right.
and we that's what we understand. And but when your heart has been hardened because of your environment, it's going to take some time to smooth that in to the point where there has to be a connection. And so yes, family is a huge, huge component. Because without the family support and the love that's embraced within the family circle, we will not be successful as a country with taking care of vets. So
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
it's very important to us.
So do you ever give any thought as to why that would not be addressed?
Yeah,
I noticed.
yeah. I give a lot of thought to why a lot of things.
Okay,
I give a
I'm
lot of
listening.
thought to why things aren't being addressed, because we don't. I'm sorry to say this. We have people in positions of authority who don't really care. I mean that they are there for the paycheck. They're not there for the mission, and that's the bottom line.
Right.
And I know that's
Yeah.
gonna
Yeah.
upset a lot of people, but. But if I'm not a therapist, I'm not a I don't get paid a doctorate to write these things and whatever. And some people may say, hey man, you shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. But at the end of the day, 22 veterans are not are dying, killing themselves every day, to suicide, not from the systems and programs that I propose, but from the systems and programs that are proposed by the people who are paid to put those systems in place. So, my thing is, if we develop cars that were crashing all over the place and airplanes going down and all this other kind of stuff, well, we have to look at who's designing these things, and we fire those people and get the right people in. Whether it's retraining or whatever, we have to call it what it is. And right now,
Right.
The unspoken tragedy in this whole thing are the destruction of families on a crazy, crazy level, that's unprecedented. I mean, the divorce rate, and if anybody even ever decides that they want to look at that, of the broken homes within the family structure of the military over this past war, I mean, it is astronomical.
That's another casualty.
Another
They only
casualty.
want to talk. Yeah, because they only want to talk about, the bodies. But what I've seen in the people that I know is most of them that return from being in the military, their statistics as well. You know,
yes,
all the points that you've already covered for us. And so, no, the spotlight needs to be shined on this, because this is so integral. Because
right,
a person that refuses to go, you know, to get into the military, be inducted into the
right
military, you know, they're
right,
they're shamed and they're talked about, and you
right
know what
right
a disgrace. But you know, look at what you're coming now with, you know, with the homelessness, the suicide, the
right
breakup of the
right
family, the continued
right
traumatic brain injury, you know,
right,
and all of those things that just keep coming back up. So yeah,
right,
we've got to talk about it. You know, we just have
yes
to talk about it.
Right. Yeah, and we talk about it, and we create solutions to solve it. And I'm in a very unique position because my life is dependent on this work. And the thing is, it's not out there, so I need to create it. You know, as a ranger, we have a Latin word that is our motto. It's called sua sponte, which means of their own accord. Grab the bull by the horns and do it yourself. That's pretty much where I'm at right now, because if I wait on the VA, if I wait on other people to do this, it's not going to be done. And the question is, if not me, then who? You know, and so I've answered my call. You know, I work, I go to prayer with this. You know, I am here not by coincidence. There's plenty of times where I felt like I should not have been here in my rifts, you know, throughout overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq, where I should not be here, but somehow I made it. And I just thank God that, you know, I'm here in this, I can work in this aptitude every single day. It gives me extreme joy and pleasure to actually do stuff for my other brothers and also for myself to get the healing that we so desperately need. And
right.
I mean, I really can't say much more about it. I mean, I'm really pleased to be doing this.
Well, I'm excited that you're doing it too. So you say my brother. So are there any women that are in your program, or is it all men?
No, we have right now. We see both. We have women and
okay
men. And when I say brothers, it's more of a universal term.
Like
our women. Yeah, the brotherhood, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Right now, I will tell you this, that women in the military, it is a huge, there are a lot of things going on in this situation. A lot of women in the military did not sign up to be 11 Bravo infantry men, obviously, because at the time it was not legally allowed. They signed up to do support jobs, you know, to support the infantry and things like that. When a female comes back and talks about her experiences as being, you know, traumatic, most people look at them as a joke. And I will tell you this, that for our women in the military, you know, they didn't sign up to go knock down doors. They didn't sign up to do those things, but they were put in those positions to man a gun, to be on the front lines with their infantry brothers. And so when people say, well, okay, you're not 11 Bravo, you're a support job or whatever it is. And my rebuttal to that is that, you know, hey, infantry guy, you signed up to go shoot people in the face. She didn't, but she had to. Okay. And that's it's probably more traumatic for her to deal with that, because she
right
had to do something that she didn't sign up to do. We have these people back here, you know, who judge people because they hear all these other stories, and they just oftentimes, you know, neglect what a female soldier or Marine is going through, and they just dismiss it. the number of suicide, the rate of suicide among women is increasing. The rate of homelessness among them is increasing. You know, sexual assault that they have to deal with, in addition to all the other stuff, is absolutely insane. The level of support that our that our sisters are going through, and so those are things, obviously, that, you know, as a stepping stone that we are going to address. But my organization is going to do his damnedest to make sure that every soldier is accounted for and every soldier is taken care of, no matter what their gender is. We're going to create the systems in place to take care of everybody.
Awesome. Whew, thank you, John. So this is Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show, and we're discussing our topic tonight is honoring our veterans, and our special guest is John Jackson, a veteran himself who has been diagnosed and worked his way through, or maybe working his way through, traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress syndrome. And John has taken it upon himself. He's received the call and he's answered the call. And he has created an organization called Stag Vets. And from Stag Vets, he has his organization has created the Comfort Farms, which is assisting our veterans in a manner that is unparalleled with any other organization that's known of in the United States. John has given us the statistics on homelessness and suicides and what people literally deal with that are in the service. And so it's not glamorized in any kind of way. He is being open and frank with us, because I know that I've taken individuals to the Veterans Hospital, and the person that has asked me to take them, John, they literally is like, you don't have to take me back, you know, because we get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the people that work at the Veterans Center Hospital, you know, they're just walking by people all day long and never treating anybody. And so I would always be like, well, what the hell, you know?
Yes.
This guy, this person have gone and fought for this country, and you can just dismiss them like that, not even pay enough respect to, you know, to honor their appointment time that you have set.
Right.
But the veteran would just be like, oh, no, don't cause any problems. Don't cause any problems. I'm like, come on now, really? You know, so...
Yeah.
I get that what you're talking about with that conditioning and, you know, the indoctrination and stuff. But, again, my hat is just – go ahead.
No, what a lot of veterans don't understand, too, is that the VA is a private organization as well. And, you know, one of the things I want to, you know, go ahead and make note of is that, you know, not every VA – you know, is the same. So you might have one bad experience at one place and a totally extremely great experience at another. Like, you know, my VA at Dublin has been awesome. I mean, in Dublin, Georgia, these guys have been on it. I won't even name drop the other VA that I went through. I mean, they were absolutely horrible. It was a nightmare being over at that place. I'm like, who wants to be here? Like, this is what my service is about. It is crazy. But I go over here to Dublin VA, and these guys are – it's day and night, which is kind of disheartening, because my thing is, if you're a lead of an organization, you know, as Stag Vets, you know, we plan on creating more farms all over the country and helping vets in the aptitude that we're doing right now. The number one thing to me is branding, and people need to associate our organization with excellence across the board. So whether I'm taking care of a veteran in Georgia or in California, they're going to be treated the same exact way. And we're going to take care of vets no matter how. And that's how the VA should be ran, you know. It's, you know, in the political, you know, during the election and things like that, you know, Trump says – that what he wanted to do for the VA was open it up for veterans to get outside care and have the VA compete for those dollars. And just imagine that. Imagine if the veterans took their money that was allotted to them and went out and said, hey, we don't want to use you anymore. We want to go work with this hospital down the way. I guarantee you these VA people will be doing everything in their power to make sure that they retain and recoup those VA dollars. And it's sad that we have to talk about, you know, money in that aspect instead of true care. But that's what it has become to. You know, it's about the paycheck. It's not about the mission these days.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunate that that's how it goes. You know, that people's care is not at the center of the work that's being done. But yours is.
Right.
So that's what we're thankful for. And so my new motto in life is, you know, let's keep a positive spin. And talk about those positive things, because when we go back to talking, or, you know, our focus is being on negative, then we're producing more and more of the negative. So So I just, you know, I want to spotlight your organization. So you guys that are out there, if you want to talk with John, have a question for him, you know, those of you that are already on the call, just push 1. It'll let me know you want to talk to him. For those of you that are not on the phone and you would like to talk with John or ask him a question, the number to call is 516-531-9819. And, again, you will push 1 when you get in. So Stag Bets, you can contact them at Stag, S-T-A-G, Bets, B-E-T-S, Incorporated, INC.org. John is going to also let you know the needs of the organization so that we can support and contribute to the work that he's doing. Again, remember that he's making a positive difference in veterans' lives. He's saving veterans' lives at Comfort Farms. So, John, we do have a caller. It is 478-361. Would you give us your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to the conversation, please?
Hello, this is Jesse Mercer. How you doing, Sandy?
Hey, Jesse, doing well. Thank you for calling in.
I'm glad to be here, glad to be a part of the conversation. I've enjoyed everything that you know, that Stag has said for what just listening to, and it's amazing. And I really commend you, sir, for what you're doing, giving back, you know, taking what you learn, even from the principles of, you know, military training. You learn from the camaraderie. Looking out for your fellow airmen, or looking out for you. I'm an airman, so I'm a veteran as well. I've been in the military 20 years. So I'm sorry about saying I'm gonna say soldier. I know.
Yeah, I got
no,
the airman
man.
Right here.
Hey, we can't look, man. We can't do it without you guys. You know, I mean, seriously, we can't do it without you guys. I mean, I hate jumping out of airplanes, but good God, man, I tell you, I had to do it.
Yeah, man, it's just a wonderful thing when you can take the gifts and the principles that you learn and give back. And so
right.
I just wanted to say, try and keep it short with you, man. Just say, hey, if anything I can do, man, I'll just take your contact information down as you talk about it more, and I see how I can help out. I'm stationed in Maryland, so Sandy, I've been kind of busy just to move, and I got PCS back in October to Maryland. I was in Georgia for about 14 years, so I kind of got used to being around family. Now I'm on the road, I'm by myself for the most part up there, and trying to just find something to do with my time for the most part, and just see, hey, this may be something I can contribute to, whether it be giving or you start something up this way near the D.C. area. Yeah, I definitely don't mind volunteering or doing some, even giving money to support, financial support is one I love to do. So,
awesome, Jesse. I really appreciate it, man. Really appreciate it. And thanks for your service, brother. Thanks for your service.
Hey, my pleasure.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support, and because I really need it daily.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
That's all I have to say, Sandy. You know I can be long-winded, so I had to. I'm gonna keep it short. I'm gonna keep it short because I could be talking about things that I just overheard for minutes and minutes and minutes. And so I said, I want to respect time and say, hey, just want to say thank you.
Okay.
Just thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Jesse.
Jesse, yeah. And let's connect too, Jess, because I know just being in the military. And and you working to do what you have to do, there's always, you know, there's always the untold stress. You know, we you know, collectively, us in the military, regardless of what branch we're serving in, you know, we do a good job at masking a lot of things. And so what I always like to tell, you know, our active duty, non-active duty is, you know, just always be real with yourself. And, you know, when you're having issues, man, please, if you ever have any issues, you have my information. You reach out to me, and we can always talk. We'd love to get you down at the farm one day, you know, fool around with the animals and eat some good food and just the fellowship. I mean, that's what this organization is all about, and would love to have you be a part of it.
Oh, definitely. I'm a vegan, so I'll be grazing whatever you got around.
well, I our sheep need petting, you know. So.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, John? Tell them about the animals that you have on the farm.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we as a small farm component, we decided the business side of it, that we would raise animals, heritage animals, and animals that have a long history in American culture and world culture. So some of the specific things that we raise there are the Hungarian Mengelista. It's a pig that looks like a sheep. The meat is red and marbled like a ribeye. We also raise the American Mulefoot. There are only about 600 registered and less than 2,000 in the whole world. They are extremely, extremely great meat quality. Most people who hate pork, when they taste our pork, they absolutely fall in love with pork again, but they get spoiled because they only want to eat that. We raise sheep, Katahdins, Dorpers, and St. Croix. That we have, we're going to be doing some rotational grazing on, and also we have cattle from the low-lying Angus that our bloodlines are from Australia, and we do complete grass-fed on those guys, and depending on if the chef wants, we can do a grain finish. But all of our animals are raised with love. We take care of each one of them, you know, in a way that is that an animal should be raised. And we're starting up our vegetable production this year with our hoop house, and also getting a hydroponic system from Ponic Systems that they donated, so that way we could grow about 240 heads of lettuce in 1 week. And it has the ability in an 8x20 foot conics to grow 1 acre of food. So that's going to be shipped down here in the next 2 weeks and be a training a thing on a farm. So, yeah, we're rocking and rolling 2017.
Excellent. It sounds like it's starting off real good.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
That's because you're doing the work, you know, and people are finding out about the work. So now, is the only way to contact you through the website, the Stag Best? Is that the best way? I know, because you're always working, and I just need for you guys to understand that the only way for me to contact John is through a text. You know, so he's working. So he's not sitting there waiting for a phone call or something. He's actually doing the work. And so I'm just going to push, you know, reach out to him on the website. Again, that's Stag, S-T-A-G, Vets, VETSINC.org. We have another caller, John. Area code 817-308, your name, where you're calling from, and your contribution to this conversation.
Hello, everyone. This is Art. I'm down here in good old Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth area. And
hey,
quick question.
Art.
Hello, Sandy. Quick question. first, how much property do you, how much area do you have there and there where you, where you're doing your project, guy?
Hey, good question, Art. Right now we have an incubator farm. Comfort Farms is located on just 25 acres.
Just
25 acres that we have. And one of the things is it's an incubator farm to teach different disciplines. So we have goats, our pigs, we have our market garden, we have small systems, we have rabbits and things like that. So when a vet comes, we kind of engulf them in a variety of things to kind of get their feet wet. Now, additionally, we have 300 acres that's connected to that and over 1,000 acres within our program.
So when
a vet comes in and they kind of move forward on wanting to learn cattle, we'll take them to a bigger farm and they can learn on cattle, or we can take them to the bigger farm for our hogs, where we have about 300 to 500 head of hogs. They can work over there, but we teach the small disciplines in the proper ranching skills and all those type of things on the smaller footprint.
Excuse me for cutting you off, but part two of the question. I have this thing inside of me that wants to build a community, and not just any community, but it would house a lot of that what you're talking about. I just don't have the property. But here's the critical part. The building material is dirt, guy. It's just dirt. Can you imagine the impact that would have? And I say mm-hmm. that because of the dollars and cents, and that's the big deal, the money. If you use dirt, that's the cheapest thing around here is dirt. And I have a project that I want to implement. It has to do with a community growing their own foods, selling their own products, a real community, and build it out of dirt. But I need some properties. How would that fit into your situation? That's the second part.
Well, I will tell you this. Georgia has some amazing red clay. I mean, the natives have been using that thing for centuries.
Yeah.
And that's number one is if you are looking to use just dirt, it's a viable option. I mean, it's probably one of the most sustainable options that we have, but obviously you would bring in your research with that and put up some test components and things like that for housing on our end, sir, for housing on our part, to house veterans, there's a lot of different like licenses and clinical things that we need to have. And as we progress, we'll get to that point. However, one of the things that I realize is, I preach to a lot of the folks. I always say, hey, don't let what you can't do prevent you from what you can do. And so right now we can't house, but we can create an environment that is where our local therapists and our psychs who actually have access to the groups that they're working with, we can provide them a place as an open door or an open area office for them to work and do their things as an alternative to their group sessions and things like that. And so that's how we're able to kind of, keep the traction, keep the momentum on being able to help our veterans in a way that we would not have been able to do over a year ago.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to hit you up on your Stag Vets and appreciate it. Thank you very much. And on that
Thank
note,
you,
I'll
Art.
Say good night. Okay.
Thanks, Art. So we're on the downside of the time, and I want to make sure that I honor John's working schedule and not keep him up extremely late. So I just want to kind of summarize some of the thoughts, John, from the show tonight.
Yes.
And then whatever you would like to add on to that, now's the time, to pitch your company, your organization, ask for whatever help from the listening audience. You already have all that are willing and want to support you. So we've been talking tonight about honoring our veterans with John Jackson, who is the founder and CEO of STAG Vets Incorporated. And so John has been sharing quite open and honestly with us about what happens to an individual that goes into the military and the conditioning and the indoctrination that's ingrained into a person to change from what we know as normal here in the United States into that fighting machine once they are in the military and what that looks like. So John's organization helps veterans to be able to appreciate and create a new normal. Some of the things that he has advised or talked to us about was how veterans need to learn how to love again and how that would look for the family members. And so there's various components to that, the media and even the military themselves not being truthful and forthcoming with us here in the United States about the situations that military people are faced with. And so, and then John also talked about the masking that I'm sure is used to to save face, maybe within a person's family or with friends or loved ones. And so what I walk away from this conversation tonight with John, and John, I just can't thank you enough. What I walk away is when I see a person or when a person tells me that they've been in the military, and it doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned if it was active duty or not, because from what I understand, is that you get indoctrinated regardless if you're going into active service,
right?
You know,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so we people that listen to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show, what I'm asking you, in lieu of everything that we've learned here tonight on this show, is that we have a new appreciation for veterans, that we don't just, you know, let it gently pass in front of us without us acknowledging and respecting and showing some appreciation to those that have served in the military. I've learned so much from you tonight, John, and whatever I can do to help your organization, count me in. But I would like for you now to take as much time as you need to summarize or tell us how we can help.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sandra. And really, we've come to this point in our journey where I realized that, you know, I need to create the right systems in place, the right staff, the important people, and put them, empower them. And I need, in order for us to actually continue our work and to do great work, you know, I have to have a crew of people that are devoted full time to our organization, that are also managing the hundreds of volunteers that we're going to have this year alone. And so one of the things that I'm doing right now is to create a sponsorship packet. There are several organizations that are looking for that, and I'm actually working on that that sponsorship packet within the next week or two with GCSU, Georgia College, to develop that sponsor package and the perks that comes along with, you know, being a sponsor of our organization. But most importantly, any type of sponsorship and the funds that we raise for, you know, 2017 and beyond, it's going to be amazing work. I like to show our sponsors, you know, what we are doing with their work. You know, $1 given to us, we put $1.50 in sweat equity within to that, and we stretch our dollars wisely in order to maximize the positive effects that we can within the organization. So if you would like to reach out and receive a sponsorship package, you can email the organization at info, I-N-F-O, at stagvetsinc.org, S-T-A-G-V-E-T-S-I-N-C.org. You can follow our work on our Facebook at stagvets. Inc. And also Comfort Farms. Comfort Farms has its own Facebook page, and you can look there and look at all the shenanigans and all the work that we're doing every day on the farm, and keep up to date with all the program and projects that we're doing. Stag is moving forward, has been charged with so much responsibility to be able to create systems in place for veterans, and we take that very seriously as well. So any support, both professional advice, accountant work, but definitely would love to talk to an accountant, you know, as far as the financials responsibilities, because I'm open with everything that we do. Would love to be able to collaborate on those things, so that way we're just not, you know, running an organization, we're running an outstanding organization. And that's my pledge to the people that I work with and the people that I work for.
Excellent. I tell you, you have impressed me even more than you did the first time I met you. I'm standing there. So it was my responsibility in this training room was to introduce John to the audience that he had. And then when he was telling his story, I was like, I wanted to sit down and just be a part of the audience, you know. So the work that you do is just so incredible. It's amazing that you have put so much of you into it that that's reflected back in the quality that you have provided. There was I can't remember the guy's name, but John had one of the individuals that helped on the farm with him at the conference, Food for Thought. Yes, and tell you, he was just as geeked up as John was about the work. And so, you know, you got that energy, that loving energy that's flowing through the organization. And I tell you, you know, oh, man, it means so much to me that we support you in whatever
Thank
way
you,
that we
Sandra.
Can.
You,
oh, yeah.
You,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Well,
another thing,
too, I got invited to do a TED's talk in Emory on April 1st. So that is I'm preparing for that as well. So I'll be at Emory University doing a TED's talk or TEDx talk there, and that'll be my first TED's ever. So that's kind of a excitement for me. And Bizarre Food Network, Andrew Zimmerman came to our farm to do a show on this Travel Channel or Food Network, whichever show they do that. That's going to be aired in February as well.
Okay, what's the date on that? Do you know?
I don't know, but he's
okay.
Yeah, for the Bizarre Food. He's going to be he's making his way from Oregon, and he's going to come down to Atlanta. As he in his travels, he's going to come down to Atlanta, Georgia, and he stopped off to see us, and we did some cool things with Andrew on that show. So the world will be able to see what Comfort Farms is like, the veterans that were there, you know, the good food that we create. And yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty cool. So
excellent.
Exciting.
Okay, we got one more
this year.
Yeah, looks like we got one more caller before you get off. Area code 843-250. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your statement, please.
Hi, Sandy. This is Havana. I just wanted to give a shout-out to you and also to John. You're doing such a wonderful job. You are indeed one of our angels.
Thank you.
You're one of us angels,
that.
And I commend you for what you're doing.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Havana.
Look. Look, if you ever decide to run for president, I vote for you. Because you sound like you got yourself together, you know what you're doing, and you got a mission, and nothing is going to deter you. So you definitely have my vote.
You sound like
you got
all
promoted.
Of my friends.
Oh, John, if we can, we'll get you in now. Get this guy out here, okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Well,
excellent.
You know, we always send positive energy to anyone who's doing something positive to change the world and to help others to adjust to changes in their life. So I truly commend you for your work. That's why I had to
you.
Be quiet and just let you talk. I can never get tired of listening to you talk about what you're doing. It's very interesting.
Thank you, ma'am. I
and
appreciate
it's so
that.
Moving.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. I'm happy that this work can connect with you guys in that way. And it's kind of, you know, listening to you, it's kind of like my guide on for me, knowing that I'm on the right path, you know. So I really appreciate that feedback.
Where exactly is the farm? What town is
it's
in?
It's in Milledgeville, Georgia.
Oh, Milledgeville. That's a beautiful town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's Lake St. Clair is not far from there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, Lake St. Clair, Lake Oconee, yeah, it's
yeah,
it's
that's
a beautiful
town.
Beautiful
I've been through there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, John.
Yes. Well, yes,
John.
Sir.
This is Jeffrey. I'm actually from Jones County, which is right below there, from us, right about.
Oh,
right
yeah. You're right down the road from us, then.
My parents live there now. Of course, you know, being in Maryland, but they still live there, in a small community
right.
outside of Gray, Georgia. Yeah. So we're not too far away from you. So
all right.
Yeah, Gray, Georgia. We have a farm. We have a farm that we send veterans to from here. Once you know, as we do our training and things like that, we have a farm right there in Gray, and I frequent Gray a lot. I'm literally about 12, 14 miles down the road from Gray.
Excellent.
Yeah, so
send your family down to us to get some vegetables and some food this spring.
There you go. There you go. We got one more caller, 770-912. Your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, Andy. This is Reggie Dunbar.
Hey, Reggie.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
How are you tonight?
Good. I'm good. Been listening to the show, and it's very, very good. Very therapeutic for me as a veteran and for the other ones that we serve. And so I have gotten enough information and understand what the purpose of the program is. So we'd like to get involved with that, and I'll coordinate that through you.
Okay.
Awesome, Reggie.
So
thanks
let me give you a little background. You know, real quick, John, Reggie and I, and I'm thinking maybe about 10 years ago, maybe less, maybe more, but we wanted to do a housing program for homeless vets here in Atlanta.
Oh,
and so
right.
We went up into Asheville, North Carolina, and sat in on a program. I believe I'm calling the right city. Up in North Carolina, and you know, took a look at the program that they had up there, which was excellently run. But we never got our program off the ground. But Reggie
right.
has been doing a lot of work with veterans here in Atlanta before
nice.
And since that time. Yeah.
Right. Nice.
So thanks, Reggie,
nice.
For being. Yeah.
I look forward
well,
to connecting,
right.
Reggie.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to let John go and get some sleep. We're going to close up, and I'm going to give you the contact information, and that is STAG, S-T-A-G, Vets, VETSINC.org is the website. You can go on there and just read all the information about the organization, see pictures of the actual work that they do out on the farm, and get a feel for the people that are involved and are benefiting from the program. There's a need for staffing. He needs people that want to work with volunteers, the hundreds of volunteers.
Yeah.
If you want to volunteer, you would be included in that. There's a sponsorship packet that's being developed as we speak now, but of course, any program needs money and it needs people, the resources from humans to be able to survive.
Right.
So he also has a need for an accountant. And to email, you would send info@stagvetsinc.org. You can follow them on Facebook under Stag Vets, Inc. and Cufford Farms. And we're going to be supporting you and looking for you on Bizarre Foods Network in February, and then also TED Talks on April the 1st at Emory. It has
yes.
been my pleasure, John, my pleasure to have you on here and to share so openly and from your heart about the work that you do, and for people to be able, for those that are not familiar, to get a feel for what is really like in the life of a veteran and what the men and women who come back, what they actually face when they get back here, because we don't know. Nobody talks about it.
Right.
You know, it's one
right.
of those hush-hush subjects again. So, again, I just love you. I love the work that you're doing. And I will be in Milledgeville to see you sometime real soon.
Yes.
So
make sure.
I got to figure out where I can, you know, lend some of my service to you, you know, to support
yes.
you. So I'll be in contact.
Right.
I'll text you.
Yes. I get all the texts, even if I don't answer back
yeah.
right away.
I know, right? Right. Oh, you're just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely. So we thank you from Life, Love, and Wellness to Sandy Rogers Show, and for all of you guys that joined in and listened to the conversation again. Let's go about with a new respect and appreciation for all those individuals that have served our country in the military, and look to them with a new set of eyes of love, respect, and honor for the work that they've done in going out and serving this country. And John, again, much love, many blessings to the work that you're doing at Stag Vets and Cufford Farms.
Thank you very much, Sandra. Thanks to your audience
yeah,
too. You guys have been great. All right.
All right, you guys. I'll see you next Tuesday.